Fighters, it's time for the Thursday Q&A episode here on the Contractor Fight Podcast. We take your questions and we answer them here on the show. Send your questions to help@thecontractorfight.com with the subject line podcast to get your questions in front of us. Tom and I will pick the questions that are the most relevant to the people here in the fight. You guys rock. Let's do this.
Fighters, before we dig into the Q&A episode, we see here on our end so many questions that come in about making more money. And I just want to give you guys a resource if you don't already have it, and it's our 50% gross profit sheet. All right, listen, the fastest way to put more money in your pocket right now in your business is to raise your gross profit, and we show you how to do that. So if you head to thecontractorfight.com/50, fill out your name and your email, you'll have instant access to this, and you'll be on your way to making more money. So go grab that right now. Let's get on with the Q&A episode here today.
All right, everybody, what's going on? We're live. I'm eating my breakfast, my two hard-boiled eggs, and my protein bar. So I want to kick this off with a short monologue, I guess. Mono is one, right? Monologue. Yep. Dialogue is between you and me, you and I, me and you. I always fuck that up. So I did a video on YouTube the other day. We posted it. We recorded it. And it was a video on how craftsmanship does not sell jobs. Let me know in the chat box if you all saw that one. It's a video that actually got a lot of love. A lot of people were into it. I want to address something. So as you know, I have some colorful language. And in this video, I was in rare form because I was fired up. I'm fired up about how contractors are hosing themselves in the sales process. And in general, that, you know, we think that it's about the actual work and the craftsmanship and things like that. So in this particular video, Dan, like every now and then, Dan, you'll record like a Friday Fails podcast and you'll like text me or Roz. You'll be like, yeah, I'm not sure, you know, better redo that one. I just say, just be you, right? And just because sometimes we get all fired up and carried away. So I want to be very clear here. This is me kind of lifting the hood a little bit for those of you who wonder why I go above and beyond sometimes within the language department. The first reason is I'm passionate about what I do. Okay. Now, can I be passionate about what I do and govern my mouth? Yeah, I did it. I did it on HGTV. I do it on stage all the time, this and that. I mean, one of the biggest things we heard from the Mile High last year, one of the biggest things I heard was, wow, I thought you were going to swear a lot more. Okay, so I'm able to dial it in. And when people are one-on-one with me, Dan, or we do coaching or workshops and things like that, people expect the YouTube Tom to show up and be like, yeah, and all that in your face. And my friends, here's one of the reasons. This is kind of behind the scenes here, idea of marketing. I know my audience. In general, my audience can handle it and it gets your attention. It's polarizing. It's not for everybody. But if you go online, Dan, you know this, and you see all the different coaches, consultants, people that do what we do and this and that, they all sound the same. And so my language is, now it's certainly me. I'm being myself. Trust me. But I also let it fly because I have to get attention and keep attention so that the byproduct is we can change lives. Okay. And so every now and then I'll get somebody who's like, you know, I wish I could listen to your channel, but I can't because of the language or whatever. And so this one dude weighed in, and I appreciate him. I'm not going to say his name. You could all see it in the comments if you give a shit. You know, he weighed in, he watched the video, and he was like, hey, great stuff, this and that. Too bad I can't share it with my sales team because of the language. And we're trying to build a family atmosphere here and this and that. And guys, this is what I want to address, the point here. I don't speak this, like if I were out selling paint jobs again, Dan, or backyards or whatever, I know my client, right? But contractors were a little bit in your face as a group, a little bit rougher in a good way around the edge. I think we do a good job of not BSing each other. And so I'm speaking the language that many of my prospects and audience understands. And so here was the sadness that came with this comment. And most of the time I ignore that shit. I'm like, you know, whatever it is, you know, I don't care. I mean, sorry is what it is. That's me. Don't have to listen. But he said, man, I wish I could share this with my sales team, but I can't because of your language. If that's you, if you're the dude watching this or whatever, I would encourage you to look past
the delivery of a message sometimes to the things that are being said, because you are truly leaving tens of thousands of dollars a week. If you have a sales team, 2, 3, 4 salespeople, you're leaving tens of thousands of dollars a week on the table by not giving them the opportunity to level up their skills. And I don't care what the messenger sounds like. I might not like the messenger. A lot of people don't like me. They don't like us, Dan. They don't like our approach. They don't think we, you know, we're professional enough or whatever. Well, you know what? I'd rather have the big ass bank account that I have and the quality of life I have and helping other people win in life and all that other stuff than I would rather come across professional. All right. And I am a professional. I'm extremely good. We are top notch at what we do. You know what? For those of you that get bent out of shape by the delivery of me or anybody else, it might even be a dry delivery, right, Dan? Sometimes I know I've sat through some freaking podcasts. See, I try not to swear. I've sat through some podcasts or talks where I'm in the audience or whatever it is. And the person speaking, I mean, I might as well look for a tree to hang myself from. Like, 100%. I can't handle it, right? But guys, there's gold in everything. There's always something. Like, I mean, I listened to a podcast last week when I was working out, dude. I listened to, and I didn't agree with a damn thing, anything, what the guy said, except having this attack mindset when you're a salesperson. But his whole way of going about things and negotiation and this and that, it did not resonate with me. And so the gold in it for me was, we're doing things right. That was the gold for me. It reaffirmed, it strengthened my convictions of the way we teach sales. So guys, there's always something there. And you know, Dan, I shared some screenshots out of a book I'm reading now, or one of the books I'm reading a few books right now, but and you were like, I said, yeah, I've had this on my shelf for like 2 years and I haven't read it.
Right.
And your first reply was basically, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And so guys, when you're ready for the message, you're not going to care about the language. You're not going to care about the delivery. Of course, we want to be a little infotainment on the YouTube channel and the things that we do to get attention. Yeah. But I know, I mean, back to the, and this is the last thing I'll say in this, I wanted to open with this and give it a few minutes for people to get on and see the live and all that other stuff. You guys, is we live in a busy world. These phones we have are distractions. You know, everything's going crazy. There's this news and the social feeds and blah, 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 and all the marketing messages that we get each day. The lesson for all of you is you must be polarizing. I've done many workshops for companies in the past on their marketing and their sales and this, that, of how to be polarizing. So let me give you guys an example. Being polarizing doesn't mean, polarizing is just going, man, I really like this cat or I don't like this cat. There's no middle ground. Being in the middle is horrible. Okay. Dude, you know, you go in the tech world, not like I'm a techie, but you go in the tech world and you go Apple and half the dudes are like, yay, and they'll die for the brand Apple, right? Yeah. And then other people are like, bunch of scumbags, they should be rid of the earth, you know, and all this other stuff. And there's very little middle ground with that. And so, guys, the lesson here for being polarized is it doesn't have to be like cursing and swearing and all intense and things like that. You got to find, this is a sales thing, this is a sales conversation we're going to have, and I'm going to start hitting the questions here. But you guys, Mike says, more swearing, please. Fuck yeah. There you go. So, last night, I'll give you an example of a non-polarizing approach. I had a knock on the door. It was a young kid, and there was a dude standing back away from the door. I knew it was his trainer, and they're selling a thing door to door, right? And I'll just leave it out. It doesn't matter what the thing is. And I open the door, and he's like, all nervous and this and that. And he had this 90-second little video he wanted me to watch on his iPad. And I just cut him off. I said, buddy, appreciate you stopping by. And they're contractors. I said, I appreciate you stopping by. But the thing you're selling, I've already got it scheduled to happen. Okay. And I said, so really, I'm just not interested. Right. And I sent him on his way and they're walking down my driveway. And when they're walking down my driveway, I see the other guy kind of talking to him as they're walking. I know he's coaching him up, right? Like I've just been there. I've sold door to door before and stuff. And so, dude, you know, the coach in me, I open the door and I go outside. I go, hey guys, come here. And I go, I happen to run this little sales training thing for contractors. And I said, would it be okay if I gave you some advice? And he's like, yeah. And I said, well, the first problem is your employer thinks going door to door in your industry is a good idea. And this is the worst time of day to do it. It's the dinner hour. It's interruption marketing, this and that. I have many things philosophically that I think are just shitty about what you have to do here tonight. So now that that's out of the way, I said, if you're open to it, I want to give you some advice on how to knock on the door. And he said, sure. I said, if you're going to have to do this, you got to stand out. I said, he goes, yeah, you're my second door I've ever knocked. And I'm really nervous. And this trainer came in and he's like, yeah, this is his second one. It's his first day on the job and blah, blah, blah. And we've all been there, right? I mean, I remember being there. And so, Dan, I said, listen, you're going to have to find your own approach to this. You're going to have to be you, but you've got to be polarizing in the sense where not rude, not in the customer's face, whatever, but you got to give me something that just goes, hell yeah, I'll give you a minute, or hell no, I'm done. Like, right. I think hell yeses and hell no's are a good thing. Do you guys agree with me in the chat box? Yes or no? Okay. I think this is good. There's no middle ground. Let's just cut to the chase. He says, to his credit, he goes, so how would you have done it? This kid's like 19, right? Mm-hmm. I said, off the top of my head, I probably would have knocked on the door. And I would have said, hi, excuse me. I imagine this is probably one of the most inconvenient times of day to do this. And also, you're probably noticing I'm a little nervous because this is my absolute first day doing this job. And you're the second door I've ever knocked. But would you mind if for no other reason could just practice going through this 90-second presentation with you just so I can get some reps and learn to do my job well? Like, guys, I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm saying be willing to put yourself out there. Be willing to embrace that you're the new guy. Dan, we get a lot of questions like, how do I sell my services when I'm the new guy? I used to go, hey, I'm the new guy. You build really nice homes. I paint stuff really well. And I got a small crew and I think we could work well together. And we should probably just know each other. Would it make sense for us to have a conversation? And they're like, well, you're new. And I go, you're right. I am new. And that means I have more to prove and I'm hungrier than anyone else you're going to talk to today. Guys, you got to learn to flip that and be negative when I say polarizing. Any thoughts on that, Dan, before we get into the questions here?
You have to stand out at whatever level. And it's when I'm selling paint here in Mass, I go up against an army of khakis and polo shirts. And that's not the way Dan rolls. And Dan shows up in flip-flops and a t-shirt because that's the way Dan is in summertime in Massachusetts on the coast. And you just have to be authentic to who you are and people accept it. And I still swear like a trucker, unfortunately, when I'm around my customers, which are very high end at the same time, because this is the Dan that they buy into.
Yeah. And you do very well. So guys, this, and I think the underlying issue here that Dan's talking about, I'm talking about with this whole first 10, 15, 12, 16 minutes now has been, it's the confidence that's going to win people over regardless of the delivery. Okay. So guys, run into the punch, embrace who you are and this and that. So let me go back here. Rodney, what's up, brother? I used to not like your approach, but I've used and tested what you teach and preach and I'm all in. You're right. I love you for showing up and sharing your thanks, buddy. I appreciate that, man. Guys, I just love what I do. And I love helping people. I mean, Dan, you know, it's great when we get a message like, hey, I paid my debt off, or I 5X'd my personal income in 8 months and shit like that, right? But the ones that fire me up the most are the, man, I thought you were full of shit. I started implementing it. I tested some stuff out. Next thing you know, I'm in better shape. I have more money and it saved my marriage. Like, it's the life stuff. I got on Mile High stage last year in September. And if you're not going there, hit the link in the ticker below. And here, I'll throw the link in here too, just for the hell of it. Guys, get there. But one of the first things I said when I got on the stage on the first day of my first talk was I could give two shits about your business. Okay. I care about you as a human being. I care about your life. I care about your legacy. I care about your relationships. That's why we get so fired up here about what we do. So,
yeah.
Fighters, so many contractors struggle to get their clients that they've done amazing work for to give them great reviews in a timely manner. And that's why I want to make sure that you are familiar with Nice Job. Adam wrote in and told us, he says, I started using them 7 days ago and they've increased my total reviews by 22% with 6 years worth of reviews. Wish I was using them 6 years ago. Makes me wonder how many reviews the business would have had by now if I did. All right. Nice Job takes the pain away from you collecting client reviews, and it really makes it simple with just a click of a button for your happy clients. So check out thecontractorfight.com/nicejob and take advantage of the opportunity you have to get kick-ass reviews.
People are like, I thought this was a sales Q&A. Can you shut the hell up? My buddy Dan Wilson, who I'm going to see in April in Michigan, heading out there to do a sales warrior workshop for Dan and his partner and his team. Dude, this is a great question, especially for those that are adding salespeople and they're, or they have really experienced salespeople on their team. Best way to deal with an old school salesman that is stuck in his ways. You ever run into that?
I have. I've been the young guy that showed them up, which is, I found, the most effective way to teach an old dog new tricks is to run circles around them as proof of concept of a new idea.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying, if you're Dan, you're going, hey, I'm going to take what I've learned with the sales process, because I know Dan's in our world, and just role play with the guy.
Yep.
Right. Just prove the point, like role play that you can't be backed into a corner. And if you are, you kick the wall out behind you. So yeah, absolutely that. And what you're saying basically is be the example, which is exactly where I was going with this, Dan. If you're listening to this right now, you know, that old school salesperson, you got to be the example that the way you've chosen to represent your brand and sell and connect with your customers is effective. Number one, you don't want to come across and go, this is my company, it's my way or the highway, right? That's like at some point, that's after all things have been exhausted. Then it's kind of like, dude, this is how we're going to do things here. And if you're not willing to do that, but I think this speaks more to the old school salesperson than it does to Dan in this, Dan Wilson, who asked the question. And I want you all to pay attention. Maybe you are this person. Sometimes we have a certain amount of success in an industry or in a career path or a role that we have. And we get to a point where we think we've arrived. We think we know what there is to know. Mm-hmm. And I see that a lot with the old school salespeople, is they got really good at kind of that old way of selling and all that other garbage that we don't have to get into detail here. So to me, it's more about that individual person. Is that the type of person I even want on my team, who's not willing to look in the mirror and grow and get better and keep adding to their skills? Like, right, dude, how many athletes can we talk about? The Kobe's, the Michaels, the Tom Brady's, that they're at the top of their game and they continue to elevate their game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it's because they didn't get satisfied with where they're at. They didn't, you know, they always knew there was another gear, another level. Those are the types of people I want. So
it just reminds me when I first, you sold me on the Shin, joined the Shin Fu back in the day, the CSA. And I was, if you're a good salesperson, you should be competitive. I find most salespeople are. And back when I was going to hire you for one-to-one coaching, what, like 7 or 8 years ago, you also mentioned what was the Contractor Sales Academy at the time. You said, how's your sales game? I'm like, my sales game's good. I was raised in a sales family. I'd been selling in Europe and Asia for a decade before that. And you're like, well, if I told you, you sucked at sales. And I was like, you motherfucker. So challenge accepted. I swiped my card. And lo and behold, you were right. Because what you just mentioned, we all get complacent with success. And despite the fact that my sales trajectory had kept on growing and expanding, I was too confident in the way I was. So, you know, you disrupted that and shit, the rest is history at that point. So, and back to your point about old dogs, my buddy, Sean, who got me into contracting, when I first started doing the CSA and talking about the Shin Fu process, just couldn't believe it. He's like, that sounds fucking nuts. That's crazy. And so I just showed him. He's in my territory and he came back and he was just like, I regret ever teaching you how to become a contractor when you're one town over, because he stole a ton of business from me. But sometimes you just have to be the example and be the proof of concept and expand other people's horizons.
Yeah. Be the example, guys. I mean, that's something like, and again, guys, sales is a combat sport. Mm-hmm. Okay. It is hand-to-hand combat. You are out there grinding, building relationships, leveling up you're learning to be a better hunter, farmer, gatherer, whatever the heck analogy you want to use. I always go back to the feeding the village thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's the hunting party goes out. If they come home empty-handed, people die. Okay. Or they're not as healthy as they could be. And it's the same with our families, you guys. If you think you've arrived as a salesperson and you have nothing to learn, pretty soon that's going to catch up with you. That habit, how you do one thing, how you do everything.
Okay. So there's another question in our Contractor Sales Pros Facebook group. Guys, it's a free group. It is dedicated for sale. It's a free group for sales on Facebook. I just put the link in there. So if you're not part of that and you want to get better as a salesperson, go ahead and just fill out the couple questions we have and jump in. And Dan and I, it's a place for salespeople to just kick things back and forth for each other without the other garbage of talk about the trade and all that other shit, right? And the craft. So Jason in that group says, basically he's got three crews, he's production manager, this and that. He paints it. It's too long to read the whole thing, but basically he's got work out into next February or March, over $1 million booked, got a small crew. And basically he's going, I need to keep selling to get where I want to be, but leery about overselling and not being able to man the work. And so I camped on this because I saw it earlier. So I'll go first and sure. You can think what you want. We actually address this a lot, you guys. So the first thing that came to my mind was you still need to be selling your work. But the first priority here, Jason, is you need to be selling your brand in the recruiting space. You need to become a sales and marketer prospector for your crews because the work is not going to go away. Okay. Especially with inflation and all the crap going on in the world and the economy and this and that. And who knows when the next time the economy takes a total dump, you want to be there with as much work on the books as you can and a team ready to go because your competitors are going to go out of business. They're going to tap out. They're not planting seeds. They're not building relationships. And you will, okay, fine. If you have 2 million on the books and half of it cancels because of the economy, right? Then you still have $1 million on the books.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, that becomes your number one priority right now. And which, I mean, that, you know, if you want to scale your business, guys, you got to sell and you got to recruit, sell, recruit, sell, recruit. Yeah. I get you have to produce work and all that other shit. Okay. But it's much easier to do that when you're selling and recruiting all the time than it, you know, when you're not. Any other thoughts on that?
Aside from that, mine is just know your numbers and job costs and what customers you want. And when as you're going forward selling, find the areas where you can raise your prices and find your ideal customer. And to me, it's always like you said, keep hiring because keep selling because then you can always find crews to produce. I'm a big fan of rather having shorter production capacity than jobs on the board.
There you go. Jonathan asks on YouTube, I'm almost done with They Ask You Answer. What other sales marketing books do you recommend? You know, Jonathan, I'm just going to answer this quick and we're going to move on. I don't recommend you start another book right now. I recommend that you start implementing the shit that you learned in They Ask You Answer.
Yeah.
Saying don't read. I'm not saying, you know, whatever. Read the book again. Implement the things that Marcus says to do in the book and you will be well on your way to crushing it in sales. Mm-hmm. Because the biggest issue, Dan, you know, we read these things and we don't implement. So
right. That's
a problem.
Yep.
All right. All right. Rodney Pags. How do you get over the fact that not every phone conversation is my customer? Lately, I've given the ballpark over the phone and gotten responses like, whoa, that's more than I expected. That's way more than the other quotes. And then he's asking, is this a reflection of my marketing?
We've had this conversation, Rodney, in the past. And as you're moving up in your pricing and you're kind of changing your mindset, how you approach your business, your customer base is going to shift. So certainly some of that is just your marketing is hitting the wrong customer. When I hit that roadblock during a sales call and I know it's not going to go forward at that point, being completely unemotionally invested in that call, I just pick up the phone and call the next person. And that's it.
Yeah. It's, you know, when I read that, the first thing that I thought was if you're being bothered by the feedback, getting over the fact that not everyone's your customer, you don't have enough leads. Because I just know, guys, when I have a shit ton of leads, I don't care. Yep. I know when I have very little leads, I'm all puckered up like, you know, the fat chick looking for a date for the prom and I'm desperate, right? So, yeah, I don't know why I said that. Anyway, I'm literally going, that just came out of my mouth, but whatever. tough shit. So, no, I mean, it's, and we've all been there, guys. You know, when your phone's not ringing, the phone rings, you're like fucking Tommy Boy and, you know, with the sale thing, right? Yeah, and you're like, oh, here's my little sale. I got to win this thing. And there's all this pressure to fucking win the sale. And the reality is, no, when you have a shit ton of leads coming in, mentally, it's just a different game. So Rodney, it's about selling like you're independently wealthy, like you don't need the work, and marketing like your next meal depends on it. So it's probably a number of your leads and it's probably the quality of your leads. But that's why, again, the things you're doing to level up your brand, create content, that's going to take some time. The relationships, the influencers. I mean, we know your situation, what you're doing. And so I would just keep hammering away and approach every sales call like I don't need it. And I don't mean like in an arrogant way, you guys. I'm just talking like,
It's not easy. You know, it's uncomfortable doing that because a lot of us conditioned ourselves to always want the sale, right? We got hung up on closing rate being high when it's just like you're taking shitty jobs or working for the wrong people. And we start getting no's. We've seen a lot in our groups. It's a mind fuck for people. And mm-hmm. You just have to get comfortable with it. And you start, once you move past that and you're not getting hung up on the overthinking these people, it's a lot easier just to kind of flip them aside and move on to the next one. Like you say, though, the more leads, the better, because it's just that you're not, it's a numbers game at that point.
Yep. Hey, fighters, hopefully you got some value today from the Q&A episode and that you learned something that you can apply in your business. If you have a question, send an email to help@thecontractorfight.com and in the subject line, put the word podcast and we will get that question. We'll answer it on air for you. And also, don't forget to share this with another contractor. Give us a review on iTunes, wherever you listen to this. Super appreciate you hanging out with us here today. You guys rock. We got to roll. We're out.